All right, everyone good?
Yes.
All right, let's open our time in the Word with some prayer. We are running short on time already. Thank you, God, that you care for us. I thank you that you love us, that you are here for us. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we have been in this series about salvation, that we would dig into our Bibles and learn more about our salvation, that we would take time to be in your presence during the week, and that we would take time to write down what our salvation means to us. I pray that you'd help us in this regard. Help us to grow, that we would be more aware of what you have already done for us than we are of what we've done for ourselves. Lord, I thank you for your great grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I do see that we have a few people with us this morning that haven't been here yet for one of the messages in this series, and so I'll just do some brief introductory information. So we're talking about your salvation, a fresh start. Where do we get that? Well, of course, it's City Bible Church, so we get that from the Bible, right? So John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Jesus says this, he gives us this word picture of being born again. He is literally saying born from above. And in that chapter, Jesus describes a spiritual mystery. Now here's our text for this past month that we've been in this series from Titus. When God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through his Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 7. Now, how many of you know that when God declares something, it is so? He spoke the earth into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Who am I to question that when God declares me righteous, it is so? A fresh start, a second chance at life by turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus. We're provided an opportunity to be new. How many of you know someone in your life that needs to hear this, that might could have been sitting in that empty chair next to you? What does your salvation mean? It's by turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus, we are provided an opportunity to be new. There's no perfect people allowed, and we all need a fresh start. So what are the Bible definition, the Bible words, if we sum up all the different Bible verses about this, what does it mean? It means to cause to be completely reformed or improved, to reestablish on a new basis. It is a new beginning, a creative act of God. It's a mysterious thing, right? It is a spiritual rebirth, spiritual renovation, a renewal, a recreation, a restoration of things to the intended state. A part of what Daniel is describing and what Chiquetta was describing was a season in your life where you realize that you can be who God created you to be. Not comparing yourself to someone else, not trying to be like someone else. Certainly God brings people into our lives that we want to be somewhat like, right? That are inspiring to us, but God did not create us to be them. Hello? Yeah. We've already talked from Colossians chapter 3. We spent a good two Sundays in Colossians chapter 3. But from verse 10, Paul writes about this journey of what do I do since I'm now saved? It means I'm putting on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. All right, we talked about I've got to put off the old and put on the new. Some of you were here for my hip-hop episode. Right? You got to put off the old to put on, right? So you put off the old to put on the new. That's what God wants for us, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Right? Yeah. Not sitting here or in any other building makes you new. It is a gift from God. And guess what? Not sitting by yourself in your living room or a pub declaring that you are your own church, you don't need church, that doesn't do it for you either. It is a gift from God. Regardless of who you were, right? Regardless of your former actions, it's not because you got your act together. Some people are waiting to get around other Christians until they can get their act together so that then they can get to know God. Come on. Whoa, that's backwards. We should never smell like we think they need to get their act together before they come to us. Are you breathing?
Yeah.
We should never even smell like that. This series is an iceberg series. This is something where throughout the passages of Scripture that I've referred to and the concepts that I've referred to, every one of them, there is something deeper for you to dig into. This is a freebie. This is a bonus round. This is an opportunity for you to dig into your notes. Hopefully you are taking notes, right? Yeah. Some of you use your phone. You thumb punch notes into your phone. Use the Wi-Fi here works. The password's Real Coffee, R-E-E-L, right? If you use an online Bible on your phone. But you need to be digging down into this. Right? The author of Hebrews writes, how then shall we overcome? And when he says we, he's referring to believers in a specific church at a specific time. How then shall we overcome if we ignore so great a salvation? Now that's not just a flashy woo kind of word. That is a deep and high and wide great. How great a salvation. And unfortunately, it is easy for us in the United States in this day and age to do that. We might say that we don't. We might have come to a place mentally where we don't think that we do. But in the function of our everyday life, if we open your schedule and we keep track of how you kept time in the past 7 days and we look at how you spent your money, where would we see your value on your salvation? That's reality, folks. That's what someday, when you stand before Jesus as a believer, your judgment day will be when Jesus said, then what did you do with your salvation? Open your Bible, folks. That is reality. Unbelievers have a different judgment day, a different question. But we will certainly be asked a question. Jesus made that very clear. What did you do with your salvation? Am I ignoring or am I going deep into this topic, into these passages of Scripture that we've been in? John 3, Titus 3, Colossians 3. Am I down deep to get into me? Not just, oh, Pastor Ben, you're so entertaining. Right?
Yeah.
Is it deep for me? Now, there is a goal, right? God just doesn't save you just so we can have, you know, this rave for eternity. Some of you don't know what that word means. God doesn't just save us so there can be a party in heaven so he can hear us singing to him forever. Right? A couple months ago, we talked about heaven. We dug down into the Bible in heaven. There will be stuff to do in heaven. But God, guess what? God didn't save you just to take you to heaven. Otherwise, I'd just have a Colt 45 up here, come up here, pray, and blow your brains out. It'd send you right to heaven. No, there is a purpose for your life on earth within your salvation. Now, what is that? Now, we define spiritual maturity is I have intimacy with God. I get alone with God. I get in his presence. And when I come with other believers, I am intimate with him. I open myself so that into me he sees. I allow God to see into me. I'm intimate with God. My relationship with God is growing. I love you today. I do. I love you. But I've got news for you. If you're in a place where you don't want to pray, you're spiritually sick. Now, as your shepherd, I owe it to you to say that to you. And then to help you get healthy. Call me. Text me. Let's set a weekly appointment. Let's do something to help you get healthy. Hello? Yeah. If you're at a place where you don't care about lost people, you're not spiritually healthy. I want to help you get healthy. Intimacy with God, community with insiders. That's right here. That means you have a functional understanding of the local church. The word church in the Bible is not all, in almost all occasions, does not refer to all believers all time. It refers to a set people at a set place at a set time that identify with each other, that are committed to each other. Right? So spiritual maturity, I have intimacy with God, I have community with insiders. We love on each other, we build each other up. It's not bringing each other down. Hello?
Yeah.
Should not be a church that sucks. Those of you that are offended, apologize for my French. All right. And then influence with outsiders. If my life is at a place where my salvation with God is alive and vibrant, and I have community with other people, then naturally you should build and develop influence with people that are not yet believers. Okay? It should be the natural byproduct. Now, today, in the less than 10 minutes that I have left, our topic is fresh start with the help of the church. Now, I'm going to have to sum up some scripture. We've already in the past, you can go back and listen to the recordings. We had a 3-week stretch where we talked about God's personal purpose for you. And then we walked through the Bible from Genesis 1 through the Gospels, through the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the end of the story there, into the story doesn't end until Acts chapter 1. Right, Jesus' resurrection, ascension, what he does in Acts chapter 1, and then what the immediate result is in Acts chapter 2. Now, I am very well aware that everyone in this room has a different history with church. You know, just as much as I can talk about what it's like to have a dad, you might have different, really different emotions. I'm very well aware that the same thing is true when I just talk about church. Listen, I have had my share of bad experiences in church. I would bet that I have as much excuse as anyone in this room to stand here and complain and whine and gripe about church. I could tell you stories of things that were done to me and said about me and my life. We don't have even time, nor would it be worthwhile. I know that all of us have a different experience, and we've been in different churches. Why do churches have so many problems? Because they are made of people.
Come on.
Right? And because the church is made of people, and people are not yet perfect, and they mess their diapers, and then they smear it on somebody else, and it's just nasty.
Come on.
Right? And it doesn't matter if it's the pastor. It doesn't matter if it's the deacon, the evangelist, prophet, whatever. It doesn't matter if it's the janitor. There is somebody in every church that's going to hurt you. Because we are people. That's why in this church we spend so much time focused on the Bible and so much time talking about relationships and so much talking about forgiveness. Because the only way a marriage works is if I keep the ring on. Do you hear me? The ring is not a reminder to me that I can't have sex with anyone else. You know what the ring is a reminder to me of? Is that she made a promise to me for the rest of her life that benefits me in mind-blowing ways. I love companionship for the rest of my life. Is too old-fashioned?
No,
hello?
Come on.
This is the church is the same kind of commitment. We have had bad experiences, and I've walked a lot of people through the aftermath of divorce and adultery and other things, and then later on in their life, it's hard for them to feel about marriage the same way. And half of all marriages end in divorce. Do you know that that's not true? Do you know what the stat is? If both partners, it is their first marriage, only 1 out of 3 end in divorce. Hollywood has promoted a lie. Now, it is the same in church. Now, what church should bring to you, it should bring you to God, not to a human organization. Now, I believe in organization. God is a God of order. I'm having to summarize a lot because we're out of time. God is a God of order, but what do we get when we come to God? We get strength and healing. What should we get when we come to church? We should not be brought to a concept, to an idea, to a philosophy, to a room of people that are experts on life. No! We should be brought to Jesus Christ. I don't want you to come here to be with me, to look like me. That would be strange. Right? I want you to interact with Jesus. My goal is to organize, to work hard, to pray, to do all that I can do so that I can get out of the way. So that you will not be distracted by me or by Rebecca or by the form and how we do things. And you guys are strange because you're from the West Coast. But that you would come into contact with Jesus. You see, the church is a great place to connect with God. It's also a great place to connect with people. If we can grow up, get healed, find our identity in Jesus, and learn how to forgive, then what happened to you before might not happen to you again. Right? This is so hard for us to learn. Like, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Well, if you got yourself right and came, it wouldn't be.
Come on.
Hello?
Come on.
If you would just love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, there would be one less hypocrite up in the place. Right? So the more we can do that, what we don't see is the benefit. Some people don't see the benefit of church. And so what happens is they miss out on it. They come once a month. Listen, you cannot get the benefit out of church coming once a month. You just can't. Right? They won't go to small group. I don't know, y'all people are strange. I don't believe in that. You're trying to control me. You're trying to control my week. That's wrong. You're trying to love on you. Trying to help you experience love, grace, strength. Because when we come together, we can say, yeah, I'm struggling too. Then we can have honesty. We can have community. We can come side by side and provide each other strength. God is a God of healing. He is a God of strength. What should the byproduct be when his people get together? When his people get together, the byproduct should be healing and strength.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
A couple of scriptures for you to write down. I'm going to blast through a couple of things and then we've got to close. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, and chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. Starting local church inside cities is how Jesus' followers responded to what he had told them to do. They did so with a simple focus. Okay? Every church, whether it was in Jerusalem or whether it was in Antioch, every church had a simple focus. They focused on Jesus and what he had taught them, and they focused on reaching other people. They had a purpose, right? The church wasn't trying to create its own thing that was unique from every other church in the whole world. They were trying to follow God in the purpose that he had already laid out. That was a freebie. Some of you will get that later. Here's what we see, okay? When we've come to the Bible, right? As we've served the Bible and we have dug deep and we've prayed and we've asked God, what is this church going to be like? This is what we see. We see a church loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. Now, listen, I know that you may come from a background where the Bible has been twisted so that there's too much influence on the individual. And you might come from a background where the Bible has been twisted where there's too much influence on the church. Right? Where it's control heavy. Am I talking English still? Right? You might come from an environment where it's control heavy and where no one has their own identity. They don't know what their gifts are. They don't know what their calls are. They don't know what they're supposed to be in their family, in their neighborhood. They're not doing anything. They're not connected to anyone else in their neighborhood or anyone else in the church because they don't have time because all their time is in church. I'm sorry, I don't see that in my Bible. That's why we do Sunday morning and small groups, and we try to do almost nothing else. You can have too much influence on, too much emphasis on the individual. You can have too much emphasis on the church. You go either way and you miss it.
Yeah.
Now, we are all missing Ray Lewis today. right? Ray Lewis is out for the season. The middle linebacker, the heart of the defense, the heart of the Baltimore Ravens, right? We are missing Ray Lewis today, right? Now, I want to explain, some of us have had bad experiences with church, and so we don't want to be a part of a team. It's okay, I've felt this way before. I'm not trying to get you, you can go be a part of another church. I don't care, but be in a church, right? Some of us don't want to be on a team because we either had bad experiences where there was too much emphasis on the church, or we had bad experiences where we got so isolated, so alone, that we are believing some really weird, flaky, messed up stuff that we think the Bible says that it should be just us. And what can happen is either way, instead of Ray Lewis being the only one who's not on the field today, it is like Ray Lewis is the only one on the field. Right? Today, 1 o'clock, here comes the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders. Right? And here I am. I'm Ray Lewis, right? I know my call. I know who God's created me to be, but I got a little... So I'm not in a church. So it's me against 11. And so I'm calling, hey, you got to do this. Hey, you got to do that. Oh, it's got a safety blitz. Ed Reed, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. Right? And I'm trying to play by myself. Your individual gifting, your individual calling will never work at its, listen to me, this is Bible, will never work at its fullest extent until you're on the team. Until you're plugged into a good Bible-believing church where we function together. You say, Pastor Ben, I don't care about football. Well, that's all right. That's okay. Any business? Any daycare? Any family? Any marriage? Think about the things that God created. God created us to operate in team. Where you're not all by yourself and you're not in so deep that you don't know who you are. Is this making sense?
Yes.
God is a God of healing and a God of strength. And when we function the way the church is designed to function, there will be healing, there will be strength, and everyone who comes in and everyone, because they were both gathered and scattered. When we gather, there will be healing and strength. When we scatter into the city, there will be healing and strength. We see a church where people are loving Jesus in a way that people talk about. We see a church where people find salvation and healing in Jesus. We see a church helping people find careers and peaceful homes. We see a church, this is a good time to say amen. We see a church where everyone can find a place where they fit. We see a church serving the city with love that works. Don't you want to belong? To belong means I'm a part of something where I can give and receive. To belong means I feel love, acceptance, and affection. I am cared for. To belong means I'm not useless. I make a difference. I am important. That's what it should mean. Right? To belong to a church. How do we do this? We've talked about this before. You got to find a running partner, someone else, right, to help you. You pick one topic, one thing in your life that God's talking to you about to work on. You ask each other, what can I do? And every week you say, how are you doing? Right? Now, this is a bird, and it did take too long for me to find the right name and all the description. This bird will, over the course of the summer, start to bury nuts and things that it's going to eat to get ready for the winter. 7,000 different locations every year. And then over the course of the winter, it remembers every one. It goes back and digs up from 7,000 different locations what it wants to eat. I think it has first breakfast and second breakfast and 11sies. What we can miss out on, based on our bad experience with the church, is that God is asking us, what are you storing up? Because if you store up isolation, you will reap loneliness. If you store up commitment to family, you will reap the strength and the healing from family. If you store up bitterness with the people you're around all the time, you're going to reap that destruction. If you store up that forgiveness and love, mercy, what did Jesus say? Blessed are the merciful, they will receive mercy. Will you stand with me, please? Apologize, I'm a couple minutes over today. Nate, you can go ahead and start. I'm going to try to not end late, but I think the testimonies were good and were worth it today. There's a lot of Bible here in this message, and I apologize we were running late on time and to lay it all out for you. I'm happy to meet with anyone to help you in the Bible study to back up everything we talked about today. God, think about this. God is the only source, true source of love, hope, peace, and joy. That's what God wants for you. And God, it's not a mysterious thing. It's not a weird idea that you have to just and try to connect with. God provides reality, love that works. And part of that comes through the church, right? Bringing people to a Bible-believing church, people that don't know Jesus, that's stuff we can't do in heaven. You realize this? We don't get to do that in heaven. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, feel free to come forward to the front. Happy to pray for you this morning, of course. We want to love on each other and enjoy the benefits of church with some snacks and refreshments today and just love on each other, give each other hugs and high fives. But let's just close in prayer. God, I thank you so very much that you have brought us together. Lord, looking around this room, it certainly is such a great example of the mystery of your grace. Lord, you've brought people here from all different walks of life, different ethnicities and education and economic levels. Lord, you love us because you wanted us to be an encouragement to each other, because you wanted us to build each other up, to love on each other. And Lord, when life is hard, when we don't feel like it, when we don't feel like coming to church, you wanted us to come so that we could receive your strength and your healing. And so, God, I pray today that where people have wounds from past bad experiences, that you will bring healing, that you will bring forgiveness, that you will bring strength. Help us to find healing and strength in you, and help us to bring healing and strength to others. I thank you for it, God, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I love you all so very much. Thank you for being here today. Remember, we exit right outside this door now to the coffee shop area to enjoy refreshments, something to drink today. God bless you. Give somebody a hug, a high five. Let's have a wonderful day.